Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is the unpredictable Jackie Byard, who mixes stride, gospel, bop, and avant-garde styles very freely, and he does it with intuitive ease, and that he bridges different stylistic eras with technical aplomb and a certain elegance, I might say. Do you like that?
You forgot, and he's eclectic, whatever that means.
I love the way you say that word. It's wonderful.
Yeah. That's a term, and I heard that that's not too cool to be eclectic, but I think it's good, you know, just search and check out music here and there.
That's what that is, and you certainly do that.
Yeah.
In fact,
I think most of us do that, don't you?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I do. I like to be into something new and different all the time.
Yeah.
And I know you do. I just heard one of the records that you made, the Maybach record that you made for... Concord, and you did just a marvelous version of a Rodgers and Hammerstein tune. And I would love it if you could do that. Just start us off with that one, the one called Hello, Young Lovers. Mm-hmm. Can you do that?
Yeah,
solo?
That's a tune I like to open up all my things with.
No, I haven't heard that tune for so long. That was from The King and I.
King and I, yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to do one of those tunes.
I think I did another tune. That's Hello, Young Lovers and Getting to Know You, isn't it?
Getting to Know You. That's a good tune,
Isn't that from King and I?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, boy. You're bringing out tunes in me that I haven't thought of for years. Well, you know, I'm thinking about things. You're from originally from Worcester, Mass.
Worcester, Massachusetts, city of diversified industries.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
But then I was trying to sort of chart your career. Then I don't know what you did, what your first gig was, but you were with Herb Pomeroy for a while, weren't you?
Yeah. That was during my
great
band. I lived in Boston 10 years, and I was there. We were together for about 5 years.
And then, but then you taught at the New England Conservatory for
a while. That was way later on.
Other words, you came to New York.
Yeah, I moved to New York because Boston was closing up in and on me, you know? So I moved to New York. I said, let me get out of here. They used to call me to ask me for different guys' numbers and everything, but they never gave me anything, no gigs, no record dates. So I said, I better move. So I moved to New York.
Well, then you certainly got yourself a lot of gigs then. I know one of the most notable gigs that I recall was you being with Mingus for a while.
Yeah, Charles. Yeah, Charles.
Charles. Mingus. Is there any other Mingus but Charles? That's the only one I know.
Yeah, Charles Mingus.
But he... were you with him, 10 years or so?
Six. I was with him 6 years and then left him and then went back with him for 2 more years. But I did about 8 years with him.
I read somewhere that I thought was hilarious, and it sounds like him, that when you said you were going to leave, he came after you with an axe.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Is that true? And then you got a fire extinguisher.
I got a fire extinguisher. I said, go ahead. So he said, come on, man, let's go play some blues. He wanted me to play after that.
Well, you know, I remember being once at the Five Spot to see his band, and he got mad at the audience, and there was a room in the back, and he went in the back and played there. And he stood in the back, like you could see him.
That sounds like
you could
like
see him through a little window in the like on the side of the stage, but he was in the back. He just had his back turned and was playing, and the rest of the band was out front.
Yeah.
That's typical, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you were telling me, or I read somewhere, about this great piece that you wrote that you... would play at every Mingus concert.
Yeah,
is it called
yeah.
European Episode?
European Episode, yeah.
Well, so you played this before the...
Yeah, he used to make me play about 5 or 6 minutes before each concert. And my theory was that he used to make me play my tunes so I could play his tunes.
Well, that's a good, it's a good job he did that, so at least we got to hear your own things.
Yeah, it was quite an experience, you know.
All right, I'm going to listen to this.
Okay, European Episode.
Okay. So I can just imagine you playing that before Charles Mingus came out to do his set. Would he come out and applaud, or would he give you? Would he say anything about that piece, or would he just? Or would you have to introduce him?
Oh well, that
I only
played portions of it. See, the piece used to take around 5, 7, sometimes 7 or 10 minutes.
Well, you're going to have to come back and do another show and play the rest of it.
So what he used to do, he used to keep on playing.
Oh, while he got ready.
Yeah, you
he's
know.
He's got a nerve.
No, he's just out there. I guess he's getting up his nerve to play his things.
God, he had some interesting stuff, though. And, oh, well, I don't want to talk about Charles Mingus. I want to talk about you, because...
Thank you.
Well, you've done... you've made a very unique... And you are making a unique contribution to the jazz world with your big band and your... Teaching are you still teaching at the Manhattan School?
Yeah, I'm at the Manhattan School of Music.
Yeah.
I have a few students up there, 6 of them. And New School, they have me working there.
Oh, yeah, the New School, right.
And sometimes the students, I make the students come to the house rather than go to school because I don't have any classes there. So they come to the house to take lessons.
Well, you have a one-to-one thing going.
Well, yeah, yeah. Now I got a Fender Rhodes, you know, one of those big ones, and
Yeah, because I used to find, I don't do too much of teaching anymore, but I find it's great to have a second piano so they can.
Oh yeah, so you can play and jam.
Or you can jam with them, or you can say, well, here, play this chord.
Yeah, or else tell them what they're doing wrong or something. You know.
What'll we do now? What would you like to do?
On a clear day.
And we're going to do duet. That as a duet.
Yeah, it's a duet.
Well, you picked this one, so you better pick a key so we start together or something. Do you want it slow or medium? Or
Anyway.
All right. Okay. And you don't mind what key?
No, that's right, because I'm going to check out the key you're going to do.
Well, you can change keys if you want to. There's no law.
That's what I plan to do.
Oh, okay. That's a good choice on a clear day. I don't believe I haven't played that in ages. You're bringing out different tunes in me, you know, Jackie.
Well, I like to one of my things, I like that, well, today was a clear day.
Oh, you so like to kind of
yeah, so I say,
go with what's happening at the time.
It, if I have students, I say, let's play on a clear day since it's a clear day.
Or what do you do if there's a rainstorm?
Singing in the rain or something like that, you know, something about rain.
Or here's that rainy day.
Here's that rainy day. You know, all
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. This is really a shame, but unfortunately we have to wrap this up because it's just been a great time, but we're going to have to do one more tune.
All right.
So you mentioned one. This is a good one. Lester Leaps In.
Yeah, Lester Leaps In. I Got Rhythm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay.
Throw well, a little now Gershwin in there.
I'm going to let you lead this off, and then we'll do some eights and stuff, huh? So you.
We're going to do I Got Rhythm, right?
Just don't go too fast, that's all.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.